I really hope you're praising the Lord for the kids that are going down. It wasn't 3 or 4 months ago we had hardly any kids. I got to tell you, I praise the Lord. That's what a church is about, that next generation. And that's what we're talking about today. Catching up. Maybe you've seen the sign as you came. I had a pastor here earlier this week. We have revival prayer on Tuesdays with four fellas. And he said, catching up. Are you going to talk about the rapture? I said, no. Talking about catching up with children. Children have faith. They have a dynamic faith. And I just wanted to encourage you as we read together God's word. We'll stand as we honor God, but we're going to read Mark chapter 10, verse 13. If you'll stand with me, we'll honor God as we read his word. It says, people were bringing little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them, but the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly, I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. And he took the children in his arms and he placed his hands on them and he blessed them. Father, as your children, we need you to take us up in your arms and bless us. Father, open our eyes to the truth of who's the greatest in your kingdom. And Father, today we're going to give you the praise in Jesus' holy name. Amen. You may be seated. Had an interesting conversation recently with a young man. He had fallen in love with a young gal and they were planning on getting married, but they had one big thing they could not agree on. He loved children and he wanted to have a lot of them. And his girlfriend didn't seem too enthused about having a lot of children. Well, it went on for several months, and just before they were getting ready for some marriage counseling, the young woman confessed to her boyfriend that, I don't like children at all. And so, of course, they broke the marriage because he wanted to have a family. Do you know Jesus loves children? I hope you know that, because he does. He dearly loves children. People in our story today were bringing little children to Jesus to have him bless them. And something strange happened that the Lord, I sure, was opposed to, and he became indignant and hot, and that those men refused to have those little children come to the Lord. It talks about it again in Mark chapter 10, verse 14. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. In other words, the disciples, these are men that have walked with Jesus, and Jesus told them, if you follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. They walked with Jesus, and the fishing's getting great. They're coming in old, they're coming in little, and the little ones are coming forward, and the disciples stop them. They became like a bouncer in a bar. You know, if you're going to misbehave around Jesus, we're just going to throw you out. Folks, if you want to throw children out, you're going to make God very, very upset. It says, when Jesus saw this, those disciples stopping them, he said to them, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly, I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. And he took the children in his arms, placed his hands on them, and blessed them. Folks, if you want to make the Lord upset, you just stand in the way of anybody coming to him in faith. He loves to save people. He loves children. He loves adults. He loves no matter what age you are. He loves you as a child, and he wants you to come to him. This is one of the few times that Jesus got really hot with his own disciples. These men have walked with Jesus now in person 3 years. They know his teachings. They know the kind of man he is. But when they see these little kids, and I've been in churches where little kids were really not much fun. In fact, before I was a young boy, this would be with my older brothers and sisters, They went to a particular church in Saginaw. Now, there were eight of us kids. And that church came up to them, my oldest sister, because she was kind of the leader of the Christian band. I was not a Christian at the time. I didn't become a Christian until 25. But the elders of the church came up to my older sister. I think there was about four of them going pretty regular to that church. And they said, you know, Esther, my sister's name was Esther. Esther, I think you and your brothers would be a lot more happy down to the little church down the road than you would be right here. Why? Because kids make noise. Kids distract. Kids get in the way sometimes. Folks, I hope you understand how important children are to him. They're his creation. He loves them with all of his heart, and he seeks them. And if you get in the way of that, no matter what your reason is, the church that my older siblings went to was one of the more refined churches. It was the richer people. We weren't rich, and we certainly were not refined. My mother's favorite saying as the years went by is, you kids, get outside. I want to tell you, Jesus was usually angry with the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They were the hypocrites. But do you know any of us can become hypocrites when we miss the primary message of God's word? God wants little children, older children, to come to him. And if you or I get in the way of that for whatever reason, even if it seems to make ever so much sense in our minds, he's going to get hot with us. Little children, physically or spiritually, people will hinder them. Young Christians, when I first received the Lord, my pastor at that time, Jeff Williams, said, I want to warn you. This happens almost every time somebody receives Christ. There's going to be a Mormon or a Jehovah's Witness on your doorstep, probably this week. And sure enough, guess what? Hi, we're from the Watchtower. Can we talk to you about the Lord? Now, folks, it had been several years before that, last time they came. But as soon as I received the Lord, somehow, oh, I don't know. But there are people that will try to take your heart away, to give you another gospel. It's so simple. Jesus Christ is God, and he loves you, and he died in your place, and he longs to have a relationship. But there are groups that try to teach you, no, Jesus is not God. He didn't come in the flesh. He's not your Savior. On and on and on it goes. We need to be those that are telling people the truth. The truth of God's word. In Matthew 18:1, it says, at that time the disciples came to Jesus and asked him, who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? That's a pretty clear question, isn't it? What I want to know, because I do want to be the greatest, how do I get to that position where I can be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? But you know, Jesus often answers a question, kind of sidesteps your basic question and moves to something that you really need to know. You and I don't need to know who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. We just need to know we got to be faithful. God's going to lift up who he wants to lift up, and he's going to put down who he wants to put down. There are questions we don't need to have an answer to. But here's one in verse 2. They said, who's the greatest? Instead of Jesus just answering the question, he calls a little child to him and placed the child among them. Do you know what children were thought of in the Roman Empire? Children weren't people. You know, we're having a great debate in our nation today. When does life begin? We still have states right now that even after a child is born, he's alive, he's sitting on the table, or she is, the parent can still decide, nah, I don't think I want him. And they'll let that child die. Michigan, I would have never thought after Roe versus Wade was put down that our state would say abortion's perfectly good. Anytime, anyway, no problem, don't have to have a doctor, just abort. God says life begins at conception. Don't know if you know that or not, but he does. He placed a little child among them. The question is, and this keeps this in your mind, who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Jesus, instead of answering the question outright, goes and gets a little child. He says in verse 3, he said, "Truly I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you'll never enter the kingdom of heaven." These 12 men have walked with Jesus 3 years. They know his teaching, but now he teaches them something brand new. Unless you become like a little child, you'll never enter the kingdom of heaven. You know, the strange thing is they're arguing about who's going to be the greatest, but at least one of them never made it into the kingdom of heaven. Judas never placed his faith in Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. So we're arguing about things that really don't matter. God sees little children differently than adults. There's a little 3-year-old girl who came home from church one day, and she said to her mom and dad, who hadn't gone to church that day, "If you invite Jesus into your heart, he'll come into your heart. Do you know that, mom and dad?" And mom and dad were excited because they were believers. "Oh, this is great." The next day, the little girl and her mother were sitting in the kitchen, and the little girl went over and put her head on her mother's chest. And after a few seconds, her mother said, "What are you doing?" The little girl said, "I'm listening to Jesus inside of you." And she said, "Well, what did Jesus say?" So, "Well, it sounds a lot like a coffee pot going off. I don't know." A little child believes, and that's the key. A little child trusts. Why do little children trust so much? Because they know they're absolutely dependent. Why don't we trust so much? Because we get to the point we think we can do it ourselves. We don't need mom and dad anymore. We don't need grandpa and grandma anymore. In fact, we don't even need the Lord anymore, because I can pretty much take care of myself now. Thank you very much. And what we forget is, this always boggles my mind, as we're sitting here in this room right now, do you know how fast you're moving? And you say, "I'm not moving at all. I'm sitting still." You are going around 1,000 miles an hour right now. This earth is circulating 1,000 miles an hour around, because every 24 hours, we get a brand new day. The earth that you're sitting on right now, the pew you're sitting on, is traveling through space 1,000,000 miles an hour. Do you suppose you need somebody to kind of superintend this thing? It's out of control, folks. We cannot control that. It's childlike faith that the Lord is looking for among adults and children. He wants you to become like a child. The question of the day: who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Again, Matthew 18:3. He said, "Truly I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you'll never enter the kingdom of heaven." Full-grown adults have to change. You and I have to change. We need to become more like children. We say to children, "It's time for you to grow up and quit acting like a kid." And the Lord says to us, "It's time for you to settle down and act like a child. Think like a child. Reason like a child. Because if you don't, you'll never enter the kingdom of heaven." You have to know that you are in desperate need of someone to do what you cannot do, because you cannot save yourself. To get into the kingdom of God, you have to become like a child. Simple faith saying, "I am totally dependent on another. There's nothing that I can do to gain eternal life." There's nothing. Going to church is not going to get you saved. Getting baptized is not going to get you saved. Giving money is not going to get you saved. What's going to get you saved is when you become like a little child and you confess, "Lord, there's absolutely nothing I can do. I am totally dependent upon you." That's when you're going to gain eternal life. No one is more trusting than a little child, because they know they have no option. When their parents speak, it's an amazing thing. God has put it right into the heart of every little child to trust their mom and their dad totally. I went over to Joel's last night, and his little grandson, my great-grandson, was sitting on the bed watching, what's the name of that show, Joel? Okay. It's a kid's show anyhow. There were little Muppets and all kinds of stuff going on. And I went over and I touched him on the chest and said, "How you doing, buddy?" And he looked to Grandpa, because Mom and Dad weren't there. He looked to Grandpa here, because he doesn't see me that much. He looked to him and say, "This is the guy that I got to trust. Because I don't know this guy." I hope when trouble comes into your life, you look immediately to the Lord. Because nobody else can help you like he can. I can help you some. You got some problems, I can come and give you a hand doing whatever I can do. But there are so many things that I could never help you with, ever. Because I don't have that kind of knowledge or that kind of power. So what Jesus is saying, if you want to get into the kingdom of heaven, you've got to become like a child. So many Christians are childish, but not childlike. The Lord doesn't want you to become somebody that's a grumbler and a mumbler and be childish, that every time something goes wrong, it's all against me. You know, there's two different verses in the Bible, and I don't have them in the notes, but I think it's important for you to understand this. Jacob, the father of all the tribes of Israel, when Joseph was taken, he thought he was dead. But when Joseph was taken down to Egypt, what was Jacob's response? "All this is against me." Do you know God wasn't allowing that to happen because he was against Jacob? Joseph was going down to Egypt to become the prime minister of Egypt eventually, after all kinds of wrongs going on, so that he could save the people of Israel, so the people of Israel could continue to have children until the Messiah came, who was going to save us. God has a plan. I know things go wrong in this life, and I know a lot of disappointments come, but you can either listen to what Jacob said, "All this is against me," or you can listen to what the Apostle Paul said in Romans 8:28. We know that all things work for the good of those that love God, to the good of those who are the called according to his purpose. It's two different ways to live. A child really believes everything's for me. This life is all about me. I'm going to enjoy it to the hilt. And as adults, we say, "All this is against me. There's nothing good going on, and nothing good's ever going to happen." Folks, we need to become like children. Believe it or not, this is all for you. God created you to spend eternity with him. He rejoices in you. Does he allow trouble to come? Yes, he does. But believe it or not, it's for your good. It's for God's glory and our good. We should applaud the spiritual decisions of children. Jesus was on a roll with children. Look at what he said in Matthew 18:5. "Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me." Remember Jesus saying, "I was in prison and you came and you visited me. I was hungry and you fed me." And the disciples said, "When did we ever see you in prison and come and visit you? When did we ever see you hungry?" And Jesus said, "What you did for one of the least of these, you've done it unto me." Folks, when you welcome that little child in Jesus' name, whether it's an actual little child or a little child in faith because they just received Christ, you're welcoming him, because we need to be born again. When you're born again, I don't care if you're 25 or 50 or 80, you're a little child in the faith. And we need to welcome them. We need to encourage them and build them up. It's so important. Jesus come along. The disciples are wondering who's the greatest. Jesus comes along and takes a little child. And he says, "Unless you become like one of these, you won't even enter the kingdom of God, let alone be the greatest in the kingdom of God." When Jesus took that child in his arms, what he's saying is, this child, these children, are what the kingdom of God is made of. In the Roman Empire, as I started to say before, children were disposable items. Believe it or not, in that society, men were the primary. Women, slaves, and children were all secondary. A father had the right to kill even an adult, well, right to the point of becoming an adult child. The father could still kill him anytime. All kinds of child abuse was going on in the Roman Empire. And Jesus said, no. The most important in the kingdom of God are children. So if you want to talk about excitement, I hate to even say this because I know what's going on in Disneyland today. But when my kids were young, we took four of our children down to Disneyland. It was the 25th anniversary down in Florida of the Disneyland down there. And we took our kids to Disneyland. If you're ever going to go to Disneyland, please do it with children. Because as adults, we miss the mystery. We miss the excitement. Our kids went crazy at Disneyland. Talk, 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 talk. Excited every time they saw Mickey or Donald Duck or any of the this is the greatest thing that ever lived. We were down there for almost a week, and then it was time to come back. And I and Mimi went, whew, what a week. Thinking about going back to work, but the kids all the way home, all they talked about was the excitement. Do you know as Christians we can get like an adult? And instead of enjoying the excitement of being related to Jesus Christ, it can become, yeah, I received the Lord 25 years ago, but, you know, we just get on with life. I hope it never leaves you, the wonder of it and the excitement of it. I have received the God of heaven as my Savior. All my sins are washed away. And I know today I'm going to heaven when I die. How long should that excite you? Folks, I hope it never goes away for you. It never has for me. When I think that I've got the Word of God in my hands, I can pick it up, I can read God's plan for mankind anytime I want to. I hope that still excites you. I hope you don't say to yourself, well, I got to read three chapters today because my goal as a Christian is to read the Bible every year, and so I got to get in my three chapters. Folks, that's a terrible way. You are blessed by God to have the very Word of God in your hand. I hope it still excites you. I see so many Christians, they sing the songs, but many don't even sing the songs. But there's no excitement. There's no, this is what I believe, this is exciting. It should stay exciting like it is to a little child. We left, and I'm already planning, I got to go back to work, and I got to do this and this and this. But the kids kept going. A week after, they were still excited. A month after, 2 months after. Why? Because they see life different than adults do. They're excited about life. They want to see what's next because they know that it's all about them. And it is all about them. And it is all about you and your relationship with your Lord and walking through this life in unity with Him. In Matthew 18, verse 6, here's a warning. If anyone causes one of these little ones, those who believe in me, to stumble, it would be better for them to have a large millstone hung around their neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea. Woe to the world because of things that cause people to stumble. Such things must come, but woe to the person whom through they come. What the Lord is saying here is a warning for anybody that would trip up a child. And it was a warning to his own disciples. Get out of the way. Let those children come to me because the kingdom of God belongs to them. That word stumble in the Greek is scandalizo. And it's where we get our word scandal from. It's a scandal for anyone to stand in the way of a little child seeking to come to Christ. When a child comes here, our number one goal is to introduce them to Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. We want to encourage them to come. All the songs we sang, the reason we sang Jesus Loves Me this morning is for the kids, because they know that Jesus loves them. It's an instinctive thing. And so it's so important to get to the kids while they're young. Jesus said in Matthew 18, verse 8, if your hand or foot causes you to stumble, in other words, you're going to stumble, you're going to take a child out of following me. Cut it off and throw it away. It's better for you to enter life maimed or crippled than to have two hands and two feet and be thrown into eternal fire. And if your eye causes you to stumble, gouge it out and throw it away. It's better for you to enter life with one eye than to have two eyes and be thrown into the fire of hell. When I lived in Saginaw as a little boy, I had a little girlfriend next door. Name was Mary. That's as far as I'll let you know who she is, but her name was Mary. Really nice little girl. But her grandpa introduced her to pornography. And you say, why would somebody do such a thing? Folks, I don't know what his ultimate goal was, but he was a stumbling block. Folks, you need to be careful what you introduce your children to. If anything you're going to do with your own family or somebody in a church or whatever, folks, you got to stop and think. God says it'd be better for you to be dead than to make some little child stumble in the way. You need to guard your heart and your mind so that Satan doesn't use you to make a child stumble away from the Lord. Because the Lord loves those kids. He died for those kids. I want to tell you a little story. And with this, we're going to be done a little early today. But this happened 25 years ago. We had a group in our church called the Awana Group. And the Awana Group was to bring children to faith in Jesus Christ. We had games, we had activities, we had crafts. But the whole thing was set up around the devotional time when we would explain the gospel over and over and over, 150 different ways. But it was so that children could come by faith to the Lord. And one night, a new family came. It was a man I had led to the Lord, oh, maybe 5 years before that. But anyhow, he brought his sister and her family. And in that family was Dick Unger. Some of you that went to Trinity remember. Dick and Dorothy Unger. A son, David, and a daughter, Pam. And they came and they really enjoyed it. They had a good time. The whole family enjoyed it. The whole family came and enjoyed the night. But when they went home, afterwards, I always stayed and cleaned up a little bit, and I found David's hat. And it was the middle of winter, and it was cold. And so I called Mr. Unger, because I didn't know him very well at the time, and I said, David left his hat, and I'd be glad to bring that to you so that David doesn't have cold ears in the morning. And Dick said, boy, that would really be great. Because Dick was legally blind. He couldn't drive himself. So I ran the hat over there. The next Sunday, surprise, surprise, they were in church. Because I didn't even mention to them to come to church. I just told them, you know, we really appreciated them coming to Awana and hope they had a good time. But they came to church, and the pastor gave a gospel message and introduced the plan of salvation. And most of the kids were downstairs, but this was their first week, so they didn't send their children down right away. So little Pam, who was probably 10, and little David, who was 6 or 7, were in the service that day. And they heard the pastor proclaim that if you would trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you could know now that you have eternal life. And when he finished saying that, little David stood up. Wasn't even invitation time yet. But little David, 6 or 7 years old, stood up and walked right up to the front of that church, kneeled down at the altar and prayed with the pastor to receive the Lord. Within 2 minutes, Dick and Dorothy were on their feet coming down that aisle, and Pammy right behind them. You see, a little child led them. Nobody hindered them, and the whole family came to faith in Christ. It's so important for you to understand. We don't need children to catch up to us. We need to catch up to children. Do you know when most people get saved? It's before the age of 13. We think as we get older, we get smarter. The truth of the matter is, the older we get, the harder it is to lead somebody to faith in Jesus Christ. Why? Because as we get older, we get hardened. We don't listen with ears that can hear. We don't have eyes that can see anymore. The truth is right in front of us. But as adults, so often we can't see it. If you get a heart of a child, If you'll say, Lord, I'm going to come in the simplicity of a child. I'm simply going to take you at your word. What does his word promise? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall what? Shall be saved. Do you need more than that? If you need more than that, you're an adult. You're stale. You don't understand what you just heard. Anybody, I don't care if you're 90 years old, I'd let a man, I'm a hospice chaplain as well as a pastor, and I led a man to the Lord. He was 87 years old, I think. His daughter called me and said, my dad's dying. I had never had the family assigned to me yet, but she said, I know you're going to be the chaplain. I need you to get over here right now. So I rushed over to the house, and the man was really close to dying. I asked him his name. He couldn't speak. I asked him, can you move your head? No, I can't do that. So I asked the daughter, what can he still do? She said he can blink his eyes. That was all he had left. So I explained the gospel to that man. And I said, if you understood what I just said, blink your eyes hard twice. And he did. I said, would you like to receive Christ as your Savior? Blink your eyes hard twice. And he did. And I prayed with that man. And that man received Christ as a Savior. I said, if you've trusted Christ, blink your eyes hard twice. And he did. Folks, it doesn't matter how old you are. If you'll become like a child and believe your heavenly Father and believe what he's saying, you can have eternal life. It isn't an age thing. It's a faith thing. It's a trust. So many people cannot trust the word of God. Get like a child. Ask the Lord to give you a different heart, a heart that can receive the truth. Father, so glad today that we can become like little children. Father, the greatest in the kingdom of heaven has the heart of a child. We simply trust you. We trust your word. We trust your promises. And we walk daily in fellowship with you. You told us in your word, Lord, that you are the good shepherd. And the good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. Father, your life's already been laid down, but I pray for anybody here today that has not yet trusted Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, that today, Lord, they'll have childlike faith. Simply trusting. And Father, we'll give you the praise today in Jesus' name. Amen.